So, good morning, church. Good morning. Okay, so just for each one's convenience, we have kept the windows open. It's only for a few more weeks till the AC comes in, and then we will enjoy the cool breeze of the AC. Okay, just one more announcement is that please be vigilant about the children, especially the small ones, because there's no railing behind. So if they're coming, going, walking up and down, just be a little more careful. And don't leave the small children alone because they may kind of venture out. Also, for the mothers who are feeding or nursing their babies, there is a nursing room, a small space for all the feeding mothers. So that is a provision made for all the nursing mothers. Okay, now let's get back to the sermon. This is not announcement part two. This is sermon, okay? Anyways, so we'll just ask God to help us. So last week, what was the sermon on? Come on, it was a slide mein. We showed everything. Power of the cross. It was Resurrection Sunday, right? So we had kind of taken a small break from our series, which is Knowing Our God, right? So which was the characteristic that we did just before that? We did all-powerful God, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, right? Then we did the holy God, right? The eternal God, the just God, right? The just God. And then we had now we will continue with that same series, and that is mercy, the God of mercy, or the mercy of God, right? So we'll just pray and we'll ask God to reveal himself to us. Lord, we want to thank you for this time, and Lord, we want to bless this time, and we want to, Lord, say that would you please speak to us and help us to understand your attribute, the characteristic that you are, and the person that you are, O Lord, so that, O Lord, we may grow in you, that we may know how to work the way you want us to, O Lord, how we may grow in the way you want us to, Lord, in our spiritual life, O Lord, and keep our spiritual health, O Lord God, fit, O Lord God. Lord, we pray for your intervention. We pray for your mind. We pray for your, Lord, spirit, O Lord, to lead us, Jesus. Thank you, dear God. We bless this time and help us, O Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now, there are two things that we learned about God. One is God is eternal, right? And God is, you know, there are some qualities of God which are transferable, and there are some qualities of God which is non-transferable, right? So it is also called transcendent and non-transcendent. In other words, communicable and non-communicable. Now, what about holiness of God? Can we be holy? Yes, no. Can it be transferable? Yes, no. You're doubting because every day we make mistakes and we're thinking, how can I be holy, right? So, but God intends all of us to be holy, and he is making us, or every day he is teaching us to walk in his holiness. Okay? So it can be. So he wants us to be holy. Can we be omniscient? Can we be all-knowing? They say that mothers are all-knowing. Our fathers are all-knowing. No, we cannot be all-knowing. Okay? So only God can be all-knowing. So can it be transferred to us? Yes, no, no. We cannot be all-knowing means now I'm sitting here, but I know exactly what is happening in my hometown, what is happening in my, you know, in some other country. So God is not all-knowing. So like that, we have two characteristics. One is transferable and one is non-transferable. So today we are going to learn about God's mercy. That is an attribute which we can be merciful. Yes, no? Yes. So that means from today's sermon, whatever we learn, we are going to apply it. All right? and we are going to work in that area of our lives. So what is the scripture say? Let's begin with that first. It says in Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now, this is NIV version. Okay, in NIV it says the Lord is compassionate and gracious. But in other versions like ESV, it says the Lord is merciful. Okay, in other versions, if you have another version of the Bible, it says the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now, Exodus 34:6-7, it says, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So it says both. God is compassionate. At the same time, God is merciful. And at the same time, God is just. Okay, so it gives us a wholesome attribute of God. Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Again, it is interchangeably used. His mercies never fail in some versions. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Right? So in many versions, it is interchangeably used, compassion and mercy. Now, what is the definition of mercy exactly? Can someone tell your perception about mercy? What is mercy? Have mercy on me, Lord, we pray. What do you mean? Not giving a judgment. Okay. Very good. Anything else? We have mercy on the children? Or do we have compassion on the children? Okay, so this is just a food for thought for all of us to think that, you know, there is a way God loves, there is compassion and there is mercy. Okay, and how is it used interchangeably? Now, the definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Means I can hurt the person, I can punish the person, but I am not doing it. So I am showing mercy on that person. I am having compassion. In other words, a theologian called Wayne Grudem, he says God's mercy means God's goodness towards those in misery and distress. Misery because of their sin. Misery because of their sin and their foolishness and their guilt. So God is showing mercy towards them. So these are two ways we can look at mercy. Now, we will look into more detail about how mercy looks and what is compassion. So there is this another abstract that I read today is like, you know, there are a few forms of love of God. Okay, so God is love, we say. One of the form is compassion. Okay, one of the form is compassion. Compassion is the idea of pity. Okay, I'm having pity. For example, somebody is sick, so I have compassion on them. Somebody is poor, going through poverty, so I feel very much compassion on them. Means I feel, oh, poor thing, he's, you know, something, you know, we should give. So we have compassion on certain people, or because of their terrible condition, we have compassion. So that is one kind of love. And we may also have compassion on those who are guilty or those who are innocent. Now, can we understand that? How do we have compassion on somebody if they are guilty? For example, if I am repenting about something. For example, I am feeling very guilty. I did it by mistake. So God will have compassion on that person. Right? And those who are suffering distress means those who are sick. Whereas there's one more form of love of God, which is the mercy of God. Okay? Now, what is this mercy? Its very nature contemplates guilt in its object. It consists not only in the desire not to inflict the punishment due to sin and the neglect and refusal to do so, but in actual pardon of the offender. Means mercy is purely, because mercy and justice go hand in hand. So mercy, when we say I will have mercy on you, means you are sinful. You are liable for punishment. You deserve to be, you deserve to die. But you are given life. That is mercy. Okay? So when we sing a song, mercy, you know how much mercy God has had on me, means I was supposed to die, means my punishment. I am a sinful person. But God had mercy on me and He helped me to come out of that death and He gave me a new life. Means I deserve to be punished, equivalent to mercy. And I deserve death, equivalent to mercy. Okay. But when He says, okay, you are, you know, not punished for this, but I will give you more blessings. That is grace. Okay, so there is compassion, there is grace, there is mercy. Alright, clear everyone? So there is mercy, there is grace, there is compassion of God. So compassion is many times interchanged with mercy, because eventually God says, okay, because you're guilty, I will have compassion on you. But you are sinful also. So you are, you know, you get the mercy of God also. Mercy is rendered to those who do not deserve to be alive and are utterly sinful. We need to understand that mercy is for those who have done wrong. We deserve punishment, death, and no compassion. Compassion, on the other hand, is for those who are guilty of something or are suffering. Right? So, another thing that we learned about mercy is that it's an eternal attribute. For example, we have mercy on somebody. Okay, for example, somebody has taken some money from us. They are not returning it to us. But we say, "Theek hai, forgive them. They deserve to be punished. They deserve to be put in jail." Right? We say, "Theek hai, they deserve to be punished." But then we say, "Theek hai, we will forgive them. We will have mercy on them." We leave it at that. But the second time when the person does that wrong, what do? We say, "Arey, last time also you did the same thing." We remember that and we condemn them. Right? But whereas when God, we say God's attribute of mercy is that He is merciful eternally. It's an eternal attribute. Means once He has forgiven you for a certain sin, He has forgiven you. He will remember it no more. Right? So He has shown mercy on us on an eternal basis. So that is why we say on the cross, "Lord, you have forgiven me." Means it is not for one time, but it is for eternity. Alright? So that is God's mercy for us. Now, sin deserves mercy, but sickness deserves compassion. Okay? So, now, if God is giving us mercy, why is He giving us mercy? For what reason is He showing mercy to us? He loves us. Very good. So because He loves us, He wants us to have a new life, a new beginning, right? So therefore, He demonstrates His mercy through what? Yes, pity to the suffering and pardon to the guilty. Salvation and forgiveness. He shows us His mercy because He wants us to experience His salvation and forgiveness. Of course, we said we are sinful, right? We are deserving of death. So He wants us to live a life and He wants us to be forgiven. So hence He shows us through His mercy salvation and forgiveness. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. So can you tell your neighbor, it is by grace I have been saved? Yes. So it is, why did God show us mercy? Because he wants us to live an eternal life. It is in the Garden of Eden that we lost that chance of living eternally, right? But when he showed his mercy on the cross, he said, I am going to give you a new life. I am going to save you from the sin. I am going to forgive you. Okay? And God shows us his mercy through being patient and long-suffering. So you may say that, you know, how some people are continuously doing wrong, still God is blessing them. Do we have questions like that at times? How God is continuously blessing them and these people are not even understanding that they're doing something wrong or they're doing injustice to people, right? Because, again, our God is a merciful God. His eternal quality is of mercy. He's patient and also persevering. So long-suffering, in other words, is perseverance. So the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, because in the Word of God it says, there will be justice for those who are doing wrong. We read it in the initial slide also. So the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So he is seeking everyone to repent. He is giving us opportunities. He is showing his mercy, or he is demonstrating his mercy, not because we are good or we will become good, but because of his patient and persevering characteristic. Right? Next, because God wants to provide, God wants to care. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them, that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right? So when God says, I'm showing you mercy, that means he wants to provide for you and he cares for you. Right? So he shows his mercy through his provision and his care. He could have said that, you know, he is doing wrong, so the sun will not shine on him. She is doing wrong, so I will not give him food to eat. Or the rain will not come on this so-and-so person, or this neighborhood, or this country who is fighting all the time. Did God say that? No, the sun is still shining on them. The rain is still coming on them. The fields are still harvesting good crops. Why? Because God is a God who provides and cares out of mercy, not because he's compelled to do it, right? So remember that if God is providing for a certain person, it is not because they have done good or we have done good. It is because of his great mercy. That is why we keep singing this song. Because of your great mercy, we have been providing. So therefore, we have nothing to even boast about, saying, I am a qualified person, so I'm getting paid so much, or I have a good family because I am a good person. No, it is because of God's great mercy that he has been providing and caring for us. He has been patient with us and saying, come out of your wrong things. Otherwise, you know, you'll have to bear consequences of that. So he is giving us salvation and he is forgiving us. not because we deserve it, but because he is merciful, right? So this attribute of God goes hand in hand with the way things function in everyday life, right? So now, how do we experience this mercy of God? We experience it through faith in Jesus Christ, right? So we believe, Lord, you will provide, because I don't deserve it, but you are merciful. So that is why when we sing or when we pray, you know, the first prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught was what? Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. So again, he is asking us to ask for mercy. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. So through faith in Jesus Christ. So if we do not have faith, eventually the Bible says that those who grow are like the grass of the field. It will just wither away. But if we have a trust in the Lord, right, we will have eternal life. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So if we want to continue to enjoy God's mercy and grace, we better keep on having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we receive mercy in times of struggle and hardship? Many times we may feel that why is this so much of struggle? Why is there so much of hardship? But if we actually look into God's heart, we know that whatever we have been deserving, he's not giving us that. But whatever we are going through, he is in it with us in that situation. So that is God's mercy. So if we are struggling in a, say, financial situation, if we are struggling, say, sickness, or if we are struggling, say, in family, relationships, he is with us in that situation. That is God's mercy. So we experience God's mercy in that situation, and he will show us and guide us through the Holy Spirit how he is working in that situation. So in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So it is our responsibility. If I have been comforted in a situation, I show the same comfort to the other person. Confessing to receive forgiveness and restoration. So what ways we can also receive God's mercy is through forgiveness and restoration. We forgive people because the way we have been shown mercy, we need to show mercy. So we might have heard about that story about that king, right? So he had a servant who owed him 10,000 coins. And he said, come, pay me back. But he said, forgive me, king, I don't have. Then this same person goes out who has been forgiven, who has been shown mercy by the king. He goes out and he tells his friend that, you know, I want money. He owes him only 100 coins. And he says, no, now I want the money. And what happens eventually, he puts him in prison. And then when the king comes to know about it, the king says, I have shown you mercy. You were, you know, supposed to be in prison, but I showed you mercy. You were supposed to be punished. Why didn't you show mercy to the other person, right? So in the same way, we confess to receive forgiveness, and we also work towards restoration. Restoration is in our relationship. So 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So through faith in Jesus Christ, we can receive forgiveness, mercy. In times of struggle and hardship, we know that he is a merciful God. He comforts us. Then confessing to receive forgiveness and restoration, we know that God is going to be merciful to us, and he has already shown us mercy. Now, if we receive this, okay, how will our life look like once we receive this mercy? How will our life look like? If I know that I have been forgiven. So if I am going through a very hard time, will I be grumbling or will I be rejoicing? Grumbling? Or will I be at peace and I will say, yes, Lord, I know that since you care for me so much, you know, I will know that, you know, I know that things will get sorted, because if you care for me so much, the sun shines even on the sinner and even on the righteous. Similarly, I know for sure. So I will be content, like how we read today in the worship. I will be content. I will be peaceful. I will know that God will comfort me eventually. So I will have gratitude and praise towards God, right? Then I will, living a life of mercy and compassion, I will know that I have received mercy. So I am going to give mercy and compassion. So many times I have heard that, you know, many of the organizations, they will particularly say that, you know, we should hire Christians because they are very compassionate people. If you see charity and all is done, we are very proud of it because we know that we have received that compassion and we need to give it to the society, right? So our life will speak of mercy and compassion because our God is merciful. And we will start sharing God's mercy with others. It is something like giving others a second chance. How many of us believe in giving a second chance to the other person? You can raise your hand. Second chance, third chance, seventh chance. Yes, so our life should speak of those chances because God keeps on giving us a second chance, right? So we will look into it in detail as we move on to a very illustrative story as we come along, right? So God is a God of second chances. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes, God is a God of second chances. He will give us a second chance. He will give us another life, a fresh start, right? So because He is a God of mercy. So once we receive mercy, we also need to see to it that we give others a second chance. Maybe it is in our family. Maybe it is in our workplaces. Maybe it is with our children. Maybe it is with our parents. Or maybe it is with our, you know, relationship, a cousin or somebody who is long lost. And we give a second chance to them. Now we will look into a few examples in the Bible which speaks about God's mercy. The prodigal son. We know, do you think the father had compassion on the boy, or do we think that the father had mercy on the boy? The second son. He had compassion or mercy? Compassion or mercy? Mercy. Right. He definitely had compassion, but he had compassion on his state, the way he looked. He was feeling very, very sad the way his son looked. But he also showed his mercy because the son went out, the prodigal son went out, you know, whiling away his money and, you know, whatnot he did. He came back all empty, without any money or without anything, right? And he came back and he said, Father, keep me as your servant. But what did the father do? Second chance, right? He gave him a second chance. So he showed mercy on that boy. And he said, I'm going to give you a second chance. So God is a forgiving God. And he shows us mercy. Now, the woman at the well. So we know the story of the woman at the well. She comes to Jesus, comes to the well to fill water, right? And Jesus meets her and he says, woman, give me a drink. So she says, don't you know we don't associate with you guys because you are Jews and we are Samaritans. And there is a whole lot of conversation that eventually Jesus says that I am the living water. So she says, give me the living water. And Jesus says, go call your husband. And then she says, that I do not have a husband. He says, true, because you have had five husbands. Then she was like, oh, so he knows everything about me. And this must be the Messiah. Okay, eventually she goes. So what do you think? God showed mercy on her or compassion on her? Mercy or compassion? Mercy, right? Because he knew that she's a sinful woman. He knew that talking to her would also put a blemish on him, right? Talking to her would bring a stain on him, saying that, "Arey, he's talking to a woman who has been so adulterous, a prostitute, and he's talking to her." But he stands his ground, okay? And he says, no, I'm going to show mercy on her. Nobody's talking to her, but I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to give her the living water. So here he has mercy on her. Definitely he has compassion on her state, on the way she's living. All right? The healing of the blind man. So Jesus heals the blind man is also a story of God's mercy. Now we look in detail of a story. How many of you all know the story of Jonah? It's a Sunday school story. Do we all know the story of Jonah? Yes. This is a beautiful way God illustrated his mercy on not only his people. So this is a story where God shows mercy on everyone. Right? So Jonah, let's read. Everybody, please open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah is in the Old Testament. It is after the book of Obadiah. And it's a small chapter. It's just like one page. So I have given the last chapter of Jonah, but let's read the first chapter. These are very small, small chapters. It's the same story in all versions, okay? So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for the calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. That is chapter 1. So what happened? What is the conversation here? God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? Did he converse with God and say, no, I don't want to go to Nineveh? I don't think. There is nowhere written that Jonah had a conversation with God and said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. In fact, he had the audacity to book another ticket and go to Tarshish. Now, why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, any idea? Because Nineveh was wicked, according to him. He said, they have hurt us and they are wicked people. They are bad people. They, you know, they, in fact, there is a history of these Ninevites. They do a lot of terrible things. They used to chop off the head of the people. They used to rip open the pregnant women. And there was a lot of, you know, disastrous thing that these people have done. Now, God is telling, you show mercy to them. You go and tell them about repentance. Do you think if you would have been in Jonah's place, you would have gone? What do you think you would have done? See, that is a hypothetical situation where we are saying, "Arey Jonah, you should have obeyed God, you should have gone to God." Now, in our recent situation also, in our workplace, if somebody is troubling us, or in our family, if there is somebody who is causing us irritation or trouble, can we go and tell them God loves you and repent? It's such a hard thing, right? How can we show mercy to somebody who has been doing so much bad things to us? Maybe a neighbor who has been threatening you or troubling you or irritating you. Can we show mercy to them? No, it was a similar situation. So I'm just trying to bring that, you know, alignment into our lives with Jonah. That, you know, many times we can be like Jonah. We don't want to show mercy, but our God is a merciful God. He will even today, he will get, even if you get somebody who has done thousands of crimes before him, he will say, I will still show mercy to that person. And you will say, Lord, why? Why are you even doing that? Right? So we will know the answer very soon, because eventually in chapter 2 it says that now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress, I called the Lord and he answered me. From deep, the realm of the deep, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatening me, the deep surrounding me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. So basically here he is describing his experience under the water. It was almost like an ICU situation where Jonah is in the ICU. Nobody can get them out of that situation. It was like, you know, he's completely cut off from life. But he says eventually, in verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, with sacrifice to you, what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Right? So he came out of that ICU situation where he was in a very critical situation. Death. Okay, he almost tasted death. And God says, I'll give you a second chance. You have disobeyed me. So if God says that if I can give you a second chance, why can't you give a second chance to the people of Nineveh? Right? At least tell them. So he's striking a parallel or a similarity between Jonah and the people of Nineveh. Of course, we generally compare and say, "Arey, but I am not like the people of Nineveh, right?" But God says, this is how I look at every sin. For me, no sin is big or small. Sin is sin, right? But I have shown you mercy. From the death, I have taken you out into life. So you need to also speak to the people of Nineveh. I want to give them a second chance. Then the word of the Lord came. Verse chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Okay, so this is a second chance. Go to the great city of Nineveh. And then eventually he goes, he prays for them, and he tells the king, repent. And then eventually, lo and behold, they repent also. And then Jonah is very angry at God again. He says, see, I knew that you are a God of mercy and you're a God of compassion. They have repented and they are going to be saved. So God says, but to Jonah this seemed very wrong and he became very angry with God. And he says, he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. So now he's giving a reason why he went away. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life. It is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Means this plant also God has made. The people of Nineveh also God has made. Jonah, to you also God has made. So it is God who is showing mercy. It is not for you. You are feeling so bad for that plant, right? The worm has eaten away. You are feeling so angry. But do you think if the people of Nineveh died, if they die, will I feel good? No, they are also made by me. So that is what the Lord is saying. You have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So this is one book which ends with a question mark. Should God not have mercy on such people also? Maybe because of their ignorance they're doing wrong. Maybe you're telling them repeatedly. See, they've been grown up in that ambience or environment or a family background where they have been taught that way. Cheat, lie, deceive. But God is showing us to do the right thing. So we need to be more grateful and say, God, you showed mercy to me. You showed me the right path. Help me also to show the right path. Just like, but Jonah probably did not understand, or he knew that God is a merciful God. And sometimes we get so angry or carried away by our emotions that we don't want anybody else to experience this mercy of God. And we feel that, oh, this mercy should be only mine. This mercy only should be for me. I have sinned. God has forgiven me. I'm very grateful. But what about all those people? Because God says he has compassion. So here, there's a difference. He says that these people, how many people are there? How many people did God say? More than 120,000 people are there who do not know their right from the left. Means they're so ignorant. And now, am I not going to help them? He's having compassion on them. At the same time, he's going to have mercy on them, right? So this is something that we can reflect on. Just like Jonah. So it's like a parallel to what Jesus did, correct? Jesus was sent to us, the Nineveh of today, right? Jesus was sent to us. Last week only we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Just like Jonah went in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights, he was in a dead situation, but he rose up to tell us of this resurrection power of God. We were dead in our sins. We didn't know left to right. What is right? What is wrong? We didn't know. But Jesus came on earth and he said, here I preach the kingdom of God. Here I give you salvation. Here I am giving you the message of repentance, right? And this is how it is a parallel to what Jesus did, right? Jonah was reluctant, but Jesus was willing. Jonah ran opposite, but Jesus submitted to the will of God. Jonah was aware of God's forgiveness and didn't want to share, but Jesus forgave even on the cross. Right? We are all like Jonah at times. We are all like the Ninevites. We cannot compete with what the other person. He's doing more wrong. I'm doing less wrong. No. Our God has an eternal, you know, attribute of mercy. He will show mercy to all of us. He will show grace to all of us. What should be my response? My response should be of that of repentance. My response should be of more of showing mercy to the other person. My response should be of salvation. As you remember, we accept the salvation. We give the salvation, the good news of salvation to the other person. Definitely, the cross is a demonstration of God's mercy. It's a sacrifice for all our sins. It's forgiveness and redemption. It is unconditional love. Mercy did not come cheap, right? Mercy did not come cheap, but it had a great cost of a life. It was God's initiative. Just like God said, you go and tell the Ninevites. He sent his only begotten son to us. The cross offers mercy and salvation to all people. It does not say that, oh, I am from so and so. I am from a Christian background, or I am from this background. So I will receive mercy. No. All have received mercy. All have. We have not earned it. We have just received it at a very great cost. So we need to honor that, and we need to say, Lord, I receive this mercy. And sharing God's mercy to all people who live with us and around us. Right? So the cross is a powerful reminder of God's merciful nature and his desire to reconcile humanity to himself. Let's keep up this endeavor, reflecting God's mercy in our lives. Amen.